is your choice.
It is. My prerogative.
It is your prerogative. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Drive Time.
Back to school edition.
Jason and Brand. This is, I think, all schools are officially.
Yeah, I think they're all
in the whole counties and all of the counties of the upstate.
Counties. Yes,
everyone is back to school doing their thing, which means people have a little maybe longer commute.
And so, today,
one of my friends already texted in today. Said 55-minute commute. Which is not one drive time. That's two drive times plus half of another drive time.
So big announcement, we're actually going to be doing an hour-long drive time every week now.
Oh, wow. We kicked it up a notch.
But the first 30 minutes is just going to be us bantering.
Brandon, you are freshly back from New York City.
Can you just
quickly tell us what's happening in the Big Apple?
You know, it's still running. Can you believe it? Like, everything is still happening, the hustle and the bustle.
Did you go over to Wall Street?
I did go to Wall
Street. See what the markets are doing? Was there a bull on the street or a bear on the street?
There was a bull on the street.
That's what I hear about the market.
Works in that area.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Did you go out to the Statue of Liberty?
Did not go to the Statue of Liberty.
Did you go to Central Park?
I did go to Central Park.
Did you run, bike, walk, or sit on a bench?
I did not ride a bike on a bench.
Most famous person you've ever seen in Central Park. I'll go first. Adam Sandler. You.
I haven't seen a famous person in Central Park, but I did kind of have brunch one time with Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde.
Sure.
They were at this Greek place.
Did they know that you were having lunch with them, or was that more of a stalker thing?
No, the stalker part came later when we followed them to their house and we know where they live.
Yep, that is. I don't know.
We were further back.
That actually is the definition of stalking.
In my defense, though, my buddy's place was like we were walking to
his your
house,
place.
To his place.
What are the odds that they're neighbors?
There was nothing I could do about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing well. We went by their house.
That's good. Well, welcome back. We're glad you're back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Excited to kick off Drive Time today. We have two special guests with us.
Two?
Yep. It's going to be Kyle Estep and Cam Hill.
Let's
now, these guys are they're co-pastors out at Summit Cherrydale.
Yeah, it's so big out there, they need two.
That's exactly right. And they have multiple services.
Yeah.
There's a 9 o'clock or an 11 o'clock, whichever fits your fancy.
Yeah.
And they're joining us today because here across all the Summit campuses, we are kicking off a brand new series entitled
Super Normal.
And the tagline there is the radically ordinary life of a disciple.
That sounds like the tagline of like Benjamin Button, the movie.
Yes.
Benjamin Button. The radical life of the man who is old and gets young.
Yes, it's the exact same thing as that. Now, the reason we brought in Cam and Kyle was to talk a little bit about this series. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we love about being able to podcast for 22 minutes every Monday is that we can take a little more time to explain some things that maybe we talk about on Sunday morning. But as we're talking about it on Sunday morning, what we're thinking in our mind is, man, I wish I had 22 more minutes to talk about this. We'll do it on the pod.
Yes.
So we brought them in today to talk a little bit about why this series, the goal of this series, what we're hoping people get out of this series. Brandon, start asking them some questions.
Yeah. Hi, Cam. How are you, buddy?
I am so good.
Now, Kyle's been on the pod before. He's a regular, if you will. It's probably his third or fourth time. Cam has never been on the podcast before. It's
Brandon.
His first time. So let's ask him some questions so that the people driving today, keep it at 10 and 2, everybody, can get to know him a little bit better. What do you got? Rapid fire, you then me. Let's ask.
We were roommates for a while. What was the best part about being roommates with Bran?
I can't narrow it down to one thing.
Oh, thank you.
Cam,
late night TV shows.
Okay. Cam, where are you from originally?
Originally L.A., but grew up outside of Cleveland.
Now, in L.A., were you in, like, the inner cities of L.A.?
No.
Were you in burbs? Were you in
super
a gang?
Burbs.
Okay.
No gangs.
Okay.
So, unless there was gangs in Pasadena, and they invited five-year-olds in, then perhaps I could have been
so
in
you
one.
Left early. You got out of L.A. pretty early. And you went where? Where did you go from L.A.?
Mansfield, Ohio, south of Cleveland.
Very similar.
Very
Brandon. Brandon, what question do you have for Cam?
Yeah, what's the worst grade you ever got in school?
Okay, that's a good question.
I got a D in Algebra 2.
That's good.
Brandon,
that's
what was your worst grade?
A D in driver's ed.
I got a...
what?
Oh, wow. Did you wreck the car?
No, here is the thing. This guy gave so much book work.
Oh my god!
Do you find it ironic? Do you find it ironic that our whole podcast is based around driving and you got a D?
I passed.
I just found out.
I passed. How did
they
let?
That's the more alarming thing is they let you pass with a D. Those are the kinds of drivers on the road.
I passed the driver's test, but because I got a D in the class, I didn't get my license, so I had to go back to the DMV and take the test again.
10 and 2, everybody. Keep it.
I'm doing fine now.
I had a C. I had a C plus in penmanship in second grade. That was pretty.
That never got better.
It was pretty devastating. I accepted
that. You got everything. You B's or higher after that. For the
rest of your life. Saying when I got my first C. I'm just remembering my first C. Yeah. I've gotten some worse grades than that in the past. Tell us about your family, Cam. You're married. You have a sweet child. Tell us about that.
Yeah, married to a wonderful lady named Joy. She's a wellness director at a retirement community. Loves to hang out with elderly folks and keep them well, and we have a 1.5-year-old daughter named MJ.
What is the hottest exercise in retirement communities right now? If she's a wellness director, what are they doing there?
The hip thing for the hips.
Yeah.
I would think a lot of hip strengthening.
So I would say there's a few. There's Better Balance is a pretty popular one. I'll go three, because water exercise is a timeless classic. Yes, that one's not going away.
Because you're buoyant and the gravitational pull on your body is not as great when you're in the water.
Better on the old joints.
Yes.
And then the third one, it's kind of a newer one, Pedal and Ponder. They do some pedaling on a little bike while they read poetry or short stories, or Joy just tells them about her life.
That's good for the legs and the mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
Which I think is what...
Yep.
Pedaling
helps with
and pondering.
Dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff like that. So
good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really great. Yeah. Okay. You know, when you start bringing up dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff, like, we're just... Yeah, the banter slows down a little bit, and so I'm thankful for the work that your wife does with elderly people. I think
it's
really sweet. Mm-hmm. Thanks for telling us about yourself, Cam. Did you have one more, Brandon? That was it. Let's first, Kyle, say hello to everyone. You've just been over here laughing.
Hello, everybody.
Let's talk about. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's great. You interrupted.
Yeah.
It's fine. It happens.
Let's talk about Supernormal.
Yeah, Supernormal, the brand new series kicking off around Summit Church. Cam, if you would, a little bit of the background on why Supernormal, and then Kyle can talk a little bit about where we're basing this entire study out of. Can you talk a little bit about the why?
Yeah, so the why of Supernormal, we wanted to do a study in John 15 looking at the... Sorry, I'm stealing some of Kyle's thunder. On just what is the Christian life? What is Jesus actually calling us into? And oftentimes that is something that can look super spiritual to a watching world. But the point we're trying to kind of emphasize throughout this is that's baseline Christianity. That's the super normal Christian life that Jesus is calling all of us into.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think we've all seen somebody who is very... very smart, very in it, like in the word, very bright, and you're like, man, that guy is next level. But I think what I love so much about this series is that it's taking that and saying, well, what if it was the normal thing to actually be in love with God's word and spend time with it? What if it was the normal thing for Christians to actually live out the teachings of Jesus, and it wasn't the super spiritual thing to love your neighbors and to love your communities, but that was the normal thing for Christians to do. Mm-hmm. So Kyle, we're in John 15. Why did we land there for this series, and kind of what was the thought process behind it?
Yeah, I think part of the reason is just there is, it is kind of abnormal in the culture. Like, it is something that seems otherworldly, but the beauty of what we're trying to help people see is it's exactly what Jesus was doing in his own life and ministry, and it's exactly what he was inviting the disciples to participate in. So when you come to John 15, you come really toward the end of Jesus's earthly ministry, and he's preparing his disciples to know and understand that the kind of work that he's been doing, they're going to continue to participate in and do. And so you get this idea that Jesus says, this, what we have been doing, what you have been seeing, what you have been experiencing, what we have been thinking about and talking about, and the way it's been changing the world around you, this is just the beginning of the new normal in my kingdom. This is the way that life works in the kingdom of God. And John 15 does such a good job because it compels you to think about that kind of living, but remind you that that kind of living is only possible when your life is in Christ, when you are attached to the vine. So the branches bear fruit because God's going to do what God promised he would do.
Right.
But he does that by allowing us to receive the life that we need in order to accomplish those things. The power, the truth, all of those things are bound up in who God is and what God is doing. So it's kind of bound in God's faithfulness and God's work. But Jesus says, that's exactly the life I've invited you into.
Yeah. Another cool thing about this series is it's actually taking our values and showing them in the life of Jesus in this text. So talk about that and how we kind of see the values that we've talked about in the podcast and prior episodes. Talk about those values and how they kind of flow out of this passage and out of the life of Jesus.
Yeah. So our five values are just ways, it's kind of simple language that we've put to discipleship. So growing in these values are ways of growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about a series where we are diving deep into what is the normal Christian life, we want to be able to look at that through the lens of our values. And even our values oftentimes can seem so foreign to a watching world. I think Christianity, in any different cultural context, whether that's through various times in history or even in different parts of the world, there can be this tendency to try and like bring your version of Christianity and kind of wrap it in the clothing of your culture, where you try to say, well, this is what Christianity looks like here at today's day and age. And for us, in our cultural moment here in the West, that, you know, we're surrounded by secularism or even mysticism,
yeah,
where we're looking for these kinds of experiences that can't be explained and that aren't even tethered to any source of truth, or we're just completely like done with the supernatural. Like, I'm going to abandon dependency upon anyone or anything else other than myself. And for us, as a church and as Christians, we want to push back against that by leaning into what Jesus calls regular, normal, ordinary Christianity, which is pursuing him and abiding in him and being radically dependent upon him, engaging supernatural spirit giftedness, like that God in us wants to manifest himself through us and work through us. That is a radical concept that pushes back against the tendencies of our culture. So we want to lean into that and help our people grow in understanding what it means to live in that on a regular basis. Living an authentic biblical community, that's so rare. I was having a conversation with someone the other day about just being open about the things that you're walking through in life, whether that's your marriage, your relationship with your kids, and how foreign that is to so many people that you would discuss those things with others. Sharing your grace story, not being ashamed of your past, but being able to talk about the grace of God as he's worked in your life, and even stewarding your life, like recognizing that the things that I have, whether that's my home, my gifts, my possessions, my time, none of that actually belongs to me. That belongs to God, and I'm stewarding it for his purposes in the world. That's foreign to an individualistic society that says everything belongs to you and life is ultimately what you want to make of it. So I think those are pretty foreign concepts to, yep, our like cultural moment and even Western society in today's day and age. And so for us to be able to look at John 15 through the lens of our values, I think helps offer a pretty unique picture of what the Christian life is, what it should be, and helps our people, in a sense, take a step back to see what is the water that we've been swimming in culturally, so to speak, so that we can see how to push back against some of those things in the ordinariness of life.
And I think the other thing that's important in John 15 is sometimes in a culture that inside of that larger culture, you have a Christian church culture as well that we're a part of here, yeah, in the South. And so sometimes you can hear things like values, these characteristics of a disciple, and they become a set of things to do or a list of things to try to accomplish.
Yeah.
And John 15 does a great job of reminding us of why we would talk about the passionate pursuit of God as the kind of primary value for the life of a disciple, because it's the compelling nature. I abide, that's the command in John 15, mm-hmm, abide in me. And the result of that, God seems to assume and take care of, right? You will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. So here's, I want you to abide in me. And these things like living connected and stewarding our lives and sharing the beauty of God's grace at work in us and the beauty of the gospel and engaging our spirit, give us all those things that we would have a tendency to want to see more of in our folks. Those things are the result of people who are learning to and practicing the habits of what it means to abide in Christ mm-hmm. and pursue him. And I think that John 15 sets us up to be able to say some of the things we value, but maybe in a different way.
Let me give you a little behind the scenes peek, maybe, Kyle. We can talk a little bit about this. You know, Summit's 11 years old, the marks of a disciple, the values that we have here as a church family. And we're the first to say that our five values we have at church isn't an exhaustive list of all the marks of a disciple in Scripture, but these are five that rise from Scripture over and over again. Let's talk briefly, because I know some folks that are listening today have been a part of this with us for a while. Others are newer. We regularly like to come back and talk about our values. Now, that could be in any passage of Scripture we're in where we see that value. I don't think we force that in, but if we do see one of the values, we talk about it. And then at the same time, we also, on the regular, as the kids say, do a series on the values. Can you give a little bit of a snapshot on why John 15, why in one place, like a little bit of our desire to keep saying the same thing, but to be intentional about how we're saying what it is that we're trying to say?
Yeah, I think part of the challenge there is just helping people remember that really these things we talk about and we call them values, they rise out of the text of Scripture.
Yeah.
We're not trying to push them back in. So sometimes you think, well, if you're going to teach on the values, you're teaching your values instead of teaching the Scripture.
Yeah.
Like that you're going to go find a Scripture that supports your values.
And depending on where you've gone, like we get, like listen, from as an elders here, like we get that may be your history.
Sure.
Because we've been around churches. I've read enough websites where what churches say they value really are that. They're yep. not necessarily marks right. of a disciple.
Yeah.
They may not be bad things, but sure. they're not defining them as marks of a disciple. And I do think that that's one of the distinct differences, not saying better than, just different. At Summit, our values, like our whole point in saying we value this is that it was transformational, sanctification, life change.
Yeah, yeah. And it's concise language around greater concepts.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to see, like, there's this the idea of stewardship and management of life, that's going to overlay so much
sure.
of Jesus' teachings, mm-hmm. so much of the apostles' teachings, when they're talking about the Christian life and how that intersects with the stuff that you own, the places where you live, how you spend your time, the relationships that you have, all of that kind of fits under this umbrella idea or value of stewardship. So I think part of it is just concise language. Mm. And when we're teaching through a portion of Scripture that begins to address some of those areas, we can then say, hey, here's the overarching umbrella that we've
That's kind of
tethered that back to.
Yeah. So. And I think part of it is you're just trying to give language that people can grab a hold of, but you look constantly for other ways to say the same thing to remind people that these broad concepts,
mm-hmm.
they show up again and again and again and again as you read through the pages of Scripture. And so it's kind of refreshing to be able to find a passage of Scripture
sure.
that deals so well with all of them.
Yeah.
But it's this reminder that you don't have to force them in.
Right.
They really are born up out of the text, and that's freeing for us. And sometimes I think we hear both sides. We get feedback that it's really consistent, and so the more you say it and the more you repeat it, mm-hmm. it's helpful,
yeah.
and it doesn't feel like you're changing every couple of years, and so there's this group that sometimes they need the consistency of us repeating the mission and the vision and the values and the things that we care about and we're trying to pursue together, and then sometimes people 4 or 5 years in hanging around Summit are like, hey, sometimes I feel like that's all you talk about. So when you can blend and help people understand, we're going to be consistent. We're not changing these things. But we do want to be thoughtful and creative about how to articulate it in ways that are refreshing your memory that all of this rises up out of Scripture. John 15 mm-hmm. just became this really helpful place for that because it's so much content around what we care about.
Yeah, and the point being, and Kyle, you alluded to it at the very beginning when we were talking about this, this idea of abiding. Mm-hmm. You know, our number one value here at Summit is that we call it the passionate pursuit of God. Like, intimacy with God is our highest priority in life. And the way we've always talked about it from the beginning is out of that flows other things, your relationship with other people, how you steward things, living in the reality of your spiritual giftedness, sharing your story of grace. And you can even see it here in John 15. And that's going to be fun for us to be able to unpack, is out of this abiding, out of the abiding, out of this relationship that you have with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, that has practical implications for mm-hmm. your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's also going to talk about it later at the end of John 15, our relationship to the world.
Yeah.
And so I hope that's an encouragement to our people in regards to how we want the series to play out, again, under this overarching umbrella of supernormal. Like, this isn't an overly, you know, I just think we're quick to do that, like you said, Cam, in our culture, to say, oh, that's for spiritual people. I think it's because I think we've misled in how we've talked about discipleship with folks, that discipleship's something extra.
Right.
Whereas at the end of the day, it's actually what Jesus calls all followers of, like,
that's right.
Come follow me.
Yeah.
All of life. So,
and that's actually exciting. Like, you really stop and say, it's not just that Jesus is calling a few people. This is the life that he's invited us into participation with. Like, to share in the life that the Father, Son, and Spirit share in is just to think about that and let that sink in starts to really.
Yeah, it's the best thing in the world.
Awesome. Guys, we did it.
We did it.
Man, that felt good.
Happy drive time, everybody. First, like we said, first day back. Some of you are going to be listening to this when you go to pick up your kids today. Yeah. We want to give you a couple of pointers. Number one, be excited for them. Be excited for your kids in their first day, right? Yeah. Like, hey, celebrate. I hope you had a good day. Celebrate something.
Yeah, they get in the car, go, why? Hey.
Tell us the best part of your day, highs and lows. Like, tell us what you really enjoy. Yeah. What other advice do you have for parents when they pick up their kids today?
Candy corn.
Have a snack for them in the car. I think that's a great
That's
point.
What I was getting at.
What you were trying to say is just give them a snack.
Candy corn's out now.
Candy corn, it's coming, because it's fall. Because there's a lot of fall festivals.
Do you guys like candy corn straight?
Or
do you put stuff in?
Candy corn and peanuts.
Peanuts,
I mean, you can do that a little
bit. Candy corn peanuts?
You put it together.
Candy corn and peanuts.
You put it together.
Oh, okay, I'll try that. Okay, bye.
Have a great week, everybody. 10 and 2.